You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to the Engage Nonprofit Show. I'm your host, Andy Bush, CEO of LM Dietlin & Associates. Lisa Dietlin is my co-host for our exploration of the critical sector of the economy. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm just so happy to be talking about one of my favorite subjects. You know, most people don't know February is Love of Reading Month, so I'm so thrilled we're profiling literacy groups and writing groups and people who are helping people understand the written and spoken word.
Fantastic. All right, well, in this segment, we're joined by Gerald Richards, CEO of 826, or 826 National, a nonprofit that maintains a network of 7 tutoring centers across the country. Now, these centers provide writing training for under-resourced students ages 6 to 18. Welcome to Engage Nonprofit, Gerald.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Andy and Lisa.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Hey, listen, tell us about 826 National. What's your mission?
Really, our mission is to provide young people, as I said, under-resourced, 6 to 18-year-olds, with opportunities to explore their creativity and to write and to develop a love of writing. You know, our job is to really engage students in that critical aspect of their educations, which is writing.
You know, go ahead, Lisa. I was just going to say, it's so important. It's so important for writing. As somebody who writes all the time, and somebody's written a book, and Lisa's written many books, I think Lisa and I are totally on board for why this is so critical.
That's right.
So my question was, how did it start?
Oh, how did we start? So our co-founders are the author Dave Eggers and another award-winning educator, Nineveh Caligari. And they, you know, Dave, in the mission here in San Francisco where we started, really saw a need for young people to have some sort of after-school tutoring to be writing. And so they decided to open up the first tutoring center, 826 Valencia. That was in 2002, and it's just blossomed. I think the model just resonates with people, and we have a blended model, so our tutoring centers are fronted by unique and whimsical storefronts. So the one here in San Francisco is fronted by a pirate supply store.
Wait.
Nice.
Pirates. Yes. Who knew there would be such an excitement for pirates in San Francisco? But I mean, with the background of San Francisco, it sort of fits.
So, matey. Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I don't know about you, Lisa, but I get excited when people start talking about writing because, you know, part of the problem, maybe some of the biggest gap within our education system is in the early part, you know, you target six-year-olds, which I think is fantastic, but the writing component, it seems to have been a lost art to some extent, and it's so critical for things like critical thinking.
That's correct. I mean, to get the students engaged in writing and putting their thoughts down on paper and just thinking through things and creating stories just gets them thinking, gets them putting ideas together, and helps them to communicate better.
What I love, my favorite day of the week is the day I get to write. You know, I come into the office the next day. It usually happens on a Sunday, and I am so giddy, and the staff here will know. They'll say, oh, you were writing yesterday. So I'm just curious, like, is that, you know, your five-year plan to get everybody giddy about writing? That would be mine if I was in your shoes. But what is the five-year plan of 826 National?
You know, our job, and I think our mission is to get all kids excited about writing, and to then be able to bring volunteers and to get communities engaged in helping the young people in their communities. We have 6,000 active volunteers nationwide who are working with our students across the country. And our, you know, for us, the five-year plan is how many of these centers can we build. You know, can we get up and running? Can we get communities engaged in helping the young people in their communities to thrive and to write and be excited about writing?
Well, how did you decide to branch out to the different cities? Obviously, you started in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you looking for? Where do you try to locate these things, and what's the success you've seen with them?
So, you know, a bit of it was organic. You know, the model resonates with, and we're lucky enough that we have a model with the storefront and the tutoring center in the back and this creation of Third Place resonates with so many people. So then the center opened in New York because a group of people thought this is a great model and it's engaged kids and it's engaged volunteers. And then we opened up ones in Chicago and in Michigan and L.A. And so, you know, it is a... in essence, a real urban model, because mm-hmm. what you need is a way for the kids to get from school to the centers really easily. You need a way for volunteers to get to the centers and to schools, because we also do work within public schools. So a way for, you know, the volunteers to get to schools easily and to have the time to be able to do that. So, you know, and then to have school systems that, you know, will really see how our model works and can work with them.
So my question was, how do people find out about you? I know I was introduced to you through a mutual friend of ours, but mm-hmm. how do students learn about you, and then how do your volunteers learn about you? Is it through the public schools, or do you have flyers up in libraries? How do you go about marketing 826 National?
I think it's a mixture of things. I mean, the storefront, you'd be amazed how much the storefronts that we have really do engage and draw kids in. You know, what kid in New York City, we have a superhero supply store. And, you know, it's got a cape tester, and it sells secret identities and masks. And so what kid, and what adult really, can, you know, can pass it up? So people will come by the store, and it sort of draws them in. And then suddenly they're like, oh, what's going on here? And then, you know, the New York Center has a secret door. So you'll see these students will find the secret door, and they'll walk in, and the tutoring center's in the back, and it will be bustling with activity. So you get a lot of people who find out about us just from, you know, walking down the street and seeing, you know, here is, you know, in L.A., it's a time travel mart. So here, there's a time travel mart. What is that? What's going on? And people walk in, and they get excited.
That's unbelievable marketing. That's fantastic. My hat's off to you.
My jaw is down on the ground. I'm like, I want to go to that time travel place.
Well, and that's helpful. Marketing's helpful. But clearly, you've had some pretty good success rates for your students who go through the centers. Give us an idea what that's like.
So currently, we, you know, last year we worked with about 32,000 students nationwide. And we publish everything the students write. So whether it's our programs that happen in our centers or programs happening in schools. Last year, we published about 900 pieces of student writing. And every center will publish, focuses on publishing one book, and it'll be with a classroom. And so one of the books that came out was from our Michigan office, is called Enjoy, and it's really recipes for building communities, and it's sort of memoirs from students in Ypsilanti talking about, you know, how important the recipes and foods are for them growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then another book was A Place for Me in the World, which was from our Boston chapter's book, which was students interviewing people at work. So they got to interview Mayor Menino before he passed away, and some other, you know, drummers and people just finding out about the working world. So, you know, we are lucky enough to be able to publish all these things, to have students be able to walk away with actual published work.
Amazing, amazing. So, is there a story that haunts you, or a story that you, that just sticks with you, Gerald, that you heard, something that a child wrote, or something that perhaps a tutor or an instructor told you happened to a student from when they started to maybe the end of the year?
I think, you know, if we got several of them, and students that I've met, one that sticks out for me is, and he'll go crazy that I'm using him, but his name is Edwin Gonzalez, and he's was a student at 826 Boston, and he found out about the program through his high school and started writing English high school as a junior, and started working on a publication there, and was using a story when his cousin had been shot and killed. And so he, you know, the being able to write and being able to put that out there helped him process that. And so now, you know, he advanced to a couple years later. He goes off to Brandeis University, gets
nice.
His degree, and is now working as a program assistant at 826 Boston.
That's great.
So love that.
The world is round. It comes right back. And I think, you know, for so many of these kids who are writing, I mean, those, you know, clearly when you're writing, the best stories that you write about are the ones that are most personal, the ones that are attached to you. So I think in some ways it's very cathartic for these kids to talk about some of the difficult circumstances of which they came up through. So that must be, it must be just so fulfilling to experience that.
It completely is. It completely is. It's, you know, to watch so many of these students who have these stories, good and bad, but to be able to get them out and to get them on paper and how that helps them one, process those things, but two, for us to know, for the audience, for the public to know what's going on in these young people's lives is really important.
So, you know, Gerald, the buzzword today in the nonprofit sector is, collaborating, consortiums, how are you structured? So my question to you is, does A26 National, how is it structured? Does it have partners and consortiums or collaborations that it works with or in to be successful and have this reach? You have a tremendous amount of reach. Who are your partners?
I would say we couldn't do what we do in so many cities. Between the volunteers, we've got a lean staff of about 70 across the country, but, it's the volunteers that help us do the work. And then I think us working with schools and teachers, a lot of the times people find out about our program is a teacher will find out about an A26 program and will get involved and will ask us to come into their classroom and help them with a writing assignment. We currently are working, one of the things we're really excited about is we are working with Time Warner Cable to produce a book called STEM to Story, which is enthralling lesson plans for grades 5 through 8. And it's really a book that centers on hands-on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and creative writing. And we worked with them for about 3 years to build this workbook. It's about 15 lesson plans that anyone, teachers, nonprofit people, can use. And currently the YMCA is going to seed it through about 1,000 of their sites. So we're excited to have these partnerships that really help us spread the mission and the joy of writing.
That's fantastic. Well, let me ask you this, and I, being a finance guy myself, I always have to ask this of nonprofits. It's like, how are you funded? What's your funding model for your nonprofit?
Sure. All of our programs are free of charge. So everything that we do with our students, it's all free. We work with them, it's all free. So we're raising money, foundations, corporations, individuals, our different centers do events at the local level. And because it's A26, the events tend to be quirky and funny. So our D.C. chapter is doing something called Paddlestar Galactica, which will be a ping pong tournament, and get volunteers engaged in helping to raise money. Some gala opportunities, but really it's how do you get people in the door and to see what the program is. And then I think through the individuals who we're lucky enough that the program resonates with, and then the corporations and foundations that they resonate with as well, we've been able to raise funds that way.
That's so interesting. Go ahead, Lisa.
I was going to say, Andy always knows my favorite question to ask, but I'm going to jump in and ask it. If you could tell the listeners three things about A26 National, either three things you're really proud of or three things you want to achieve or what your three big ideas, what would you share with the listeners?
Three things I'm proud of. I'm, really proud of our staff. We have a great staff that runs the gamut of some people who are teachers, some people who are nonprofit professionals, some people who just find out about us. But I think for us to be able to do the work that we do and to work with the kids and the volunteers, it's the staff that really help make the program come alive. And I think, that we publish all of their work. I mean, I think when I look at what we've been able to accomplish and what we've been able to do with students, a lot of that is, students will walk away from a program with a published piece of work, and they're published authors, and you know how that is. You become a published author, it changes the game for you, whether it be going off to college or life. So that piece is fantastic for me. And, what we love to accomplish is we're looking at building more centers, so we're expanding, looking at different cities, New Orleans, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Philadelphia, and the model has, it's great when we get calls like almost once a day from people that have found out about A26 or have seen it. And so I think I'm proud that this model really resonates with so many people.
Fantastic. All right, Gerald Richards, CEO of A26 National, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. This is great. Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Engage with Nonprofits. For Lisa Dietlin and myself, explore these great organizations and see if it makes sense for you to support them or get involved with them. I'm Andy Bush. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be back again next Friday at 9 a.m. in the West, 12 noon in the East on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll have more insights and discussions then.